to live righteously. It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News. It's episode number 331. And thank you for listening to this here show, available in podcast form. If this is your first time, thank you so very much. We have a rotating panel of co-hosts, but within every episode, you'll always hear this guy. My name is Richie.
Do we have a rotating panel?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, Janae was here last time.
So was I.
And so were you, and so was Molly Jenny. And then occasionally, like, I'll rope in, Robin the Red, and I'll bring in...
I thought she moved to...
Georgia.
Ohio.
There's these things... No, Georgia. Georgia's on my mind. Ohio is for lovers. No, that's Virginia.
I honestly only know 5 states.
Ohio means morning in Japanese. That's
Does it
true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I learned that on my religiously affiliated vacation. We are out of Salt Lake. You can find us online at theculturalhall.com. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/theculturalhall. The next thing we're going to be buying for the Cultural Hall is fly swatters. And by that, I just mean one. Look at that. I don't know why there are so many flies in this in the homesteadio.
Holy cow.
There's 3 of them. There are many carcasses. So if you hear a thumping of something while Kyle is doing a news story, just know that I'm listening, I'm paying attention, but I'm also trying to kill off. That is crazy. I'm not sure why that is. There must be a...
Where are they getting in?
My guess, so the door to the home studio, by the way, studio is in Salt Lake. My last name is Stedman. That's the relation there.
And it's a studio.
And it's a studio. My guess is there's a little bit of a gap at the bottom of the door, and they just sort of sneak in that way.
And it's so nice in here.
Yeah.
They want to come in and hang out.
Yeah. I mean, they're not paying the rental fee, but others do. So that's nice. We can do that. We can have that
here.
Available. Yeah, well.
This is not square feet.
There's no bathroom. I honestly thought about putting a, and I'll share a picture, by the way, if you follow us on Instagram, I will share a picture of the home studio so people can get an idea of what it is. Or maybe Patreon subscribers, they'll get that video to be able to see exactly what that looks like. In fact, I'll do that first and then share the photo later this week. I thought about making this a rental space. This back part of my house, a rental space, not for you specifically, but
because rent implies that people pay.
Yeah. For people like you that don't need much, that just have that casual need for space, but ended up not. The plumbing to get back here was too expensive.
Oh, yeah.
It's like $40,000. Yeah. And I was like, it's a long time of rent to get that paid off. It's a lot of rent. Although in Salt Lake, only about 3 months. And you could pay off $40,000.
Right? Yeah.
It's pretty insane. As you mentioned, you were on the last episode where we did articles of news, and we'll get to that coming up. We like to banter here in the first little bit, a little bit about what's going on in our lives or something within the church.
Witty banter.
I like to guffaw even on occasion.
So for me, it's more that I complain.
Yeah. Well, sure.
For like 5 minutes.
I mean... Everyone has their own thing, right? I bet I can kill that fly.
Oh, which one?
This one here on the glass. I bet I can get it. I'm going to try
and get
it.
Like from
there? Yeah. Not from here.
Okay, you're going to throw something
at
it.
Like if I had one of those salt guns like you see at the 7-Eleven. By the way, we're recording this on 7-Eleven. So when I get this published later this afternoon, you still have time to take your container out to the 7-Eleven and get it filled up with Slurpee juice.
Yeah, the worst day. Yeah.
If you need to fill your hummingbirds or your kids full of sugar, make sure you get out there. No, what were we saying?
You're going to get the fly.
No, salt gun. Have you never seen those before?
No, what's a salt gun?
So it's
not
this
a salt gun.
No,
a
salt gun.
Okay,
not like an assault rifle. That's AULT. This is a space salt SALT. Gun. And instead of using like pellets or bullets or whatever, it's like granules of salt. You don't just do like table salt, like your Morton salt. It's some other kind of salt. But like I would point it at that fly and go, and it would kill it with little granules.
Then salt's going to go into your drywall.
It's not like salt bullets. It's like flaky. It's like enough to capture, surround, and kill the fly, but not do damage to like your window or your... That's why they invented it.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen this. Now I got to have one.
Yeah. Well, go to 7-Eleven where you can buy a copy of the U.S. Constitution, a salt gun, and a Slurpee, and then head on out. And that's true, too.
Have
you seen those? Get yourself a parchment copy of the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution there right at the checkout.
Of course, I haven't been to a 7-Eleven in I don't know how long.
No?
Because why would I go in one?
They got power bars. You can get a banana.
It's not vegan. Oh, banana?
Yeah.
Do they sell bananas there?
Yeah.
Do they rotate them on that little hot dog thing to keep them warm?
Keep them, yeah. I'd like a delicious warm banana. No, they have great tuna fish sandwiches.
No, you wouldn't buy a tuna fish sandwich.
Oh my gosh.
Richie, no.
No, I have become that person.
I don't want you to buy a tuna fish sandwich from 7-Eleven.
It's great. It sounds terrible, does it not?
Yeah, just the source.
I like to get a tuna fish sandwich from the 7-Eleven and a bag of the sour cream and cheese Ruffles. Oh my gosh, it's like death.
No, you know, there's and some a squirt woman
if
with...
if I'm feeling
no.
If I'm feeling right on top of it all, I top it off with a fine Mexican soda of squirt, which is just carbonated grapefruit juice, and they throw caffeine in that too. I think that's why I like it.
Squirt's all right. But you know, there that sandwich, there's some woman with a bad head cold and hepatitis, you know, somewhere three cities down that makes them for all the 7-Elevens.
I invite that lady with a head cold.
But do you want those diseases?
Yes.
And along with all the metals you're getting in your tuna fish, into your body?
Sure.
All right.
I want all the things, because here's the deal. You know when you hear people talking about like their favorite dive restaurant?
Yeah.
And it's been around for 50 years?
Yep.
And then they get a new grill and it doesn't taste as good? Yeah, I contend that my tuna fish sandwich, if it weren't packed with diseases and metals, would taste as good. So bring on.
You got a point.
Bring on diseases and metals. If I die by the time we publish another episode, listen, you'll know you were right.
I don't think you will, because you've built up an immunity to all the things on this
immunity
planet.
Immunity to heavy metals, sure, sure.
And to hepatitis.
Sure. When Hep A, B, and C sweep the nation and you die, I'll be like, ha ha, where's your tuna fish sandwich now?
I don't have hepatitis, so you're fine with me. I know, because I was checked about 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I introduced myself. My name is Richie T.
Oh.
And you didn't introduce
yourself. My name's Brother Kyle.
Yeah.
I'm part of the rotating panel.
Yeah. I'm like a hot dog at a 7-Eleven or a banana, whatever. Channeling our mutual friend Punk right now.
I was just going to say that. That's Punk. Funny. I got to check in with Punk.
You should. A good friend of ours who, his dad collected Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints books. And in their effort to try and get rid of things, he's shared some of those books with me. Let me have them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty awesome stuff. I've got like in this back shed here at my place, I've got... it's not called the New Era. It's called whatever it was called before the New Era, from like 1908, from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're in a box. They're pretty cool. They're like the publications that the church would put out to its membership.
What was it? I can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember either, but it was also, there's also like advertisements in it for like health insurance and things like that within the church magazine. It's a pretty cool thing. Maybe I'll snag a picture and share that as well. I got to write this down because I always say I'm going to do stuff and then I never do stuff.
Richie, last time I was here, or a couple weeks ago when I was here, took me back to this shed. He's got on his property probably half a dozen sheds.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
One,
you think,
two,
oh,
three, four, five. I've got five sheds.
Five sheds. See, I wasn't joking. And he took me into one and showed me like shelves of stuff that he hasn't been through yet of like... could be millions of dollars worth of stuff in there. I don't know.
It's not million dollars.
It's probably all garbage. But
I threw him in that room and said, it puts the lotion on the skin or else he gets the hose again.
He just let me out now.
Yeah. That's what he's doing today. This episode. Then I'll let him go. Pick up studio. And then what was the other thing I just... the magazine.
Magazine.
Okay, cool. All right. I'll make sure I share that on our social media. That being, it's at the Cultural Hall, wherever you go. We're there on Instagram, we're on Pinterest, we're on Facebook, and we're also on Twitter. Different kind of tones to each of those places because the people that hang out on those various social medias are different. So we try and cater to those folks. So what's new with you? I'm going after this fly. I'm listening.
Okay. since last time we spoke, gosh, Richie just smacked it. Did you get it? I think you got it.
Yeah.
I saw it. Two smacks. One disabled it, and then the other one finished it off, and I think it fell behind the barrier.
It did. So he's gone. Now I'm going to get the one in the window. I'm still listening since I saw you last. I'm paying attention.
I was trying to remember what happened since.
How's your son's broken heart?
My son's broken heart is mending. He smacked another. Stepped on it in the carpet.
I got a vacuum. We're good. We're flyless.
All right.
Your son's broken heart?
I can't touch bugs like that. No. I love bugs, but flies. You know, I know where their mouth has been.
I have a dog. I kiss my dog on the mouth. I swore I wasn't going to be a kiss my dog on the mouth guy.
Oh.
So I might as well.
Really? Yeah. He's licking your face all over.
Oh, yeah. I might as well lick the toilet bowl. Because he does.
Well, you know what they say? A dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth.
Yeah.
Which I...
So I might as well...
Question.
So I might as well lick my fiance's mouth as well.
Uh-huh.
Well, all right then. Let me write that down for later as well.
I don't have a dog.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, you got a son. And, nope. And only part-time at that.
Yeah. Yep, I have a boy, a human boy.
No, he's a man.
I can barely keep him
alive. Isn't he
a
man?
He's 17. He is 3 inches taller than me. We measured each other the other day.
Yeah?
We got into a hot debate over who was our exact heights. And
What do you mean, who was our exact heights? Like professionals that are people that are your same height? Is that what you mean?
No, we got in an argument over who was how tall.
Okay.
And
oh, I hear one more.
Did you hear it?
I don't know where it is. Keep an eye.
Dirty little.
Oh, I heard him again.
You're hearing things.
Now he's just messing with me. So he was lying about how tall he was, or
no,
you were?
He was right. I was lying. I've shrunk.
Gravity already?
And I think he was cheating. I think when he was looking at the measuring tape, he was like tilting it down. And
sure.
He told me the first time, he said, you're 5'5".
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, horse hockey? I made him measure like 5 times. We measured each other. This went on for like an hour of measuring and arguing each other.
This is what you do at the Brother Kyle home.
Uh-huh.
Listen, we can't afford to go out. Can we get in an argument about size? Yeah, perfect. That's tonight's activity.
We are.
Woo!
Yep.
So 5'5", is that what it officially comes out
at? No, he thought I was 5'5 and a half. I was actually 5'6" and slightly over a half.
Shoes on or no?
No shoes. No, okay. We were doing it barefoot.
Okay.
On the wood floor.
Okay.
Making marks on my wall. And my son said,
that on your wall?
Yes. My son said, what are you going to like your little kid and we're going to measure every month and see how much you shrink? Yeah.
And then he pushes you down the stairs. Uh-huh. Take that, Dad.
No. But no, so that's what we
So he's almost normal. He's almost normal height then.
He is almost 5'10" now.
Yeah, like a man.
I wish he would stop.
Wait, is your ex-wife tall?
No, she's shorter than I am.
Uh-oh. Was the home teacher growing up tall?
No. We had this guy that delivered milk.
Yeah?
Slim Jim.
Thank you for making the same joke.
I know. It was really tall.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. My mom, who used to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, makes that joke all the time.
Because
I'm the only one in the family who has red hair. And so, like, when I used to bring girls that I was dating around the house, they'd always inevitably ask, where does Rick, because that's what I would go by, where does Rick get his red hair from? And my mom, without even blinking or taking a second thought, would go, home teacher.
That's terrible.
It is terrible.
That's so good. my son yesterday, I think I told you last time, we'd bought him a different car, not new, but different.
Yeah, you work in cars, so you have the opportunity to get a new car.
Right, so I bought one at an auction in Las Vegas, which is where a lot of cars run through in the West here. So we had to get it here to Utah. So we're like, do we want to take a road trip and drive it back?
Yes.
That's all. I've done that before and one time had an engine blow up on me.
So no.
Just outside of Mesquite. So no. I said, let's ship it. So we ship it and keep bugging my shipper. Hey, you picked that up yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, pick that up. We're getting it tomorrow. So finally, he tells me, getting it Monday. So yesterday he calls me and says, can't find your car here. Like, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
I was going to call you and see if it was here. Says, no, can't find it. He said, it's been checked out. The car's left the lot. So I called the auction. They're like, yeah, somebody picked it up already.
Uh-huh.
Who? And they gave me the name of a guy and had his phone number. I called him. The guy didn't speak any English, which is not uncommon for people that drive trucks because we discussed truck drivers and how it's hard to get them. I think we did before. It's hard to get people to drive truck.
Sure.
So, and that fly is going to.
Ooh, there's two of them.
He's right there. He's right there.
I know, but there's two of them.
Oh,
I got,
gosh,
I got this
is.
One.
It's right by
I
my
got
head.
This
one's
Keep
by my head.
I'm listening.
Okay. I want to see. Rich. Oh, no. Dust came out of that one. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Three down?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I'm like Danielson, only without the chopsticks. I'm killing this thing
pretty
today.
Good. There he is.
There's, oh, there he is.
The
now
fourth.
We got the fourth one. I wish everybody else could see this.
Why don't we have cameras in
here? Well, we will. So that's a cool thing. After we get done today, I've got a guy coming by to help get the internet. And from here on out, if everything goes well,
oh my gosh,
every episode of the Cultural Hall that's recorded here in the home studio, there will be a live video where you can interact with it.
Wow.
So you can see us swat flies and kill them. Where did it go?
So is this my last episode?
Yeah, of course.
Since
because
it's going
we
visual.
Have to, yeah, we have to think about what people are going to want to see.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I mean,
I know.
I don't
it's
have to
right.
say it out loud, do I?
Or I have
do
a I? Face for radio.
Yeah.
I know. There goes that stupid fly.
So
his car
truck driver
is lost.
Checked it out. It's lost?
Yeah. So I call the guy and he doesn't speak English, so I can't find out where it is.
Mm-hmm.
It took me all day long of calling and texting and driving around. I found it. My son was absolutely peeing himself because he bought this car with his money. And dad has lost it. I'm like, trust me, son, we'll just ship it up here. No problem.
Did we mention what kind of car it was?
Do you want me to?
Yeah. I would be curious to know. Because my guess is he's going to be driving a better car than I am.
It's older. It's a 2007, but it's a BMW X3. So it's a small SUV, which is what he wanted. So he could put a bike rack on it.
Sure, sure. Sure, the BMW. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
And it matches my car because it's black on black BMW.
Is it silver like the spoon in his mouth?
I told you it's his money.
Okay.
He's paying for it.
Yeah, that dad no doubt gave him because dad spare the rod, spoil the child.
No, I'm a guy that makes him work for his money.
Okay. All
except right. his bike.
That's a cool car. But they're expensive to get fixed. I had the opportunity actually to buy an X3 and...
No.
No? BMWs? Not expensive to get fixed?
Absolutely not.
Not like headlights or... Like $500-$700.
No.
Yes. No.
Nope. The only one I've spent a lot for was a BMW 7 Series, which is their car, their high end car.
Mm-hmm.
And the headlight was $2,700.
Oh my gosh.
I got a better deal on one, but that's
sure.
how much the headlight was.
Okay.
And this was 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
They're a lot more
okay.
now.
Okay.
But no, for like a regular, everyday run of the mill BMW, it's not bad. Everybody thinks that, but it's not bad. So. I finally found his. The fly came by me, and I had to try and get it. I found his car. He had been like he was beside himself all day that his car was gone, that he'd paid for.
And where is it? Where was it?
It was at our dealership, just behind.
Oh.
out in the back.
Listen, we know it came in somewhere.
Well, I went and found it, and I'm like, "Has anybody seen this car?" Asking everybody, and then the gal in our shop, we have like a shop there. She's like, "Oh yeah, I've been driving it."
Really?
Yeah, because it needed...
They're nice cars.
Yeah, it's a great car.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably nicer than mine.
Right. But he spent. Yeah. But he bought it with his own money.
Right. Yeah. Well, he sold his other car, and he'd saved some money, and he combined them to buy this car. Number four is about to lose... Oh, did you just smash it on your fingers? Richie smash fly number four. It's on the window.
I'll take a picture of that too.
Yeah, I was going to say, do that smashed fly. Horrible.
Smashed fly.
All so right. Last night, I kept him waiting. I found it about 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and I kept
Still
him waiting.
Didn't tell him
He's
like
texting me
dad?
Nonstop. Dad, where? Dad, did you find it? Dad, you know where are you? Dad, get back to me. I didn't respond to him, so finally about 8:30, I said, hey, are you home? And I drove it over to his house.
Yay! Then he made you walk home or run home, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, see you, thanks! You're just, can I get a ride? Can I? Well, cool, that's good to know. I'm glad his heart isn't still broken. Speaking of unheartbroke, you know, I'm in the throes of second time wedding.
Honeymoon phase.
Oh my gosh. No, as far as a relationship, it's great. As far as planning wedding stuff, you know, you forget. Even though I work in the wedding industry, I only work in a part of it. I'm a DJ, as you'll hear coming up, and some paid sponsorships paid by me here in a few minutes. But like you just sort of forget how the culmination of all of these different like vendors and events coming together, how expensive it can be.
That's why I think it's ridiculous, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like, so even if you want to do it on the cheap, on the very cheap, I mean, you're still looking, I mean, you still have the ring, you still have whatever you're going to wear,
mm-hmm.
you still have her dress, you
what,
know.
So you're what on the cheap?
What
do you think on the cheap it's going to run?
Like if you're going, and I'm talking like, you get a pretty cheap ring, dress, and all that stuff, including your stuff. Like, you're probably the cheapest I bet you could do, $3,000.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And but that's like no reception.
Yeah.
Or like reception at a church, but you don't have anything for anyone to eat there. That would be like getting married at the courthouse or the, you know, the like here in Salt Lake, you would do it at the city county building by a city professional who would just do it and no hoopla. You wouldn't have flowers. That would be a reasonable-ish, like nice suit or slacks and shirt and a fairly cheap dress for her.
Why would you even get a dress? And why anything other than a ring if you're going to the courthouse?
Right,
honestly.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? I feel like you would have a little bit of extravagancies, but I would be really surprised if someone has made their way through all of these things for less than three. We don't want that much. We're just inviting family. Like, mm-hmm. literally, these are my siblings and their kids.
You should have seen last week when he told Janae and me that she's not invited.
Yeah.
And only family is. You should have seen.
Yeah, she was sad.
The look on her face.
She was sad.
She was devastated.
We're going to have a thing where people can come, but just not this. And still, it's like it's not fancy. It's just like convenient the way that we're looking at doing it. $10,000.
Oh no! Are you serious?
Yeah.
That makes me sick.
Yeah. It so it really has been an interesting thing as we've kind of looked at it and go like, all right, so what do we really care about?
Right.
What are the most important things, right? Because for me, like really great pictures, this will be a time when all of my family is together. So we're going to get not only the pictures of her and I, but also family pictures, right? Like my sister and her six kids and her husband, they'll use this as an opportunity to get family pictures taken.
Sure, yeah.
My brother, you know, his wife and their three kids, same deal. So it's sort of multi-purpose. So I don't want to do that with a $400 photographer that, you know, goes, oh, it's blurry, or I had the, you know, the white balance setting off or whatever. Like I don't want to risk
that. Your buddy's cousin.
Yeah.
I've done wedding pictures before.
Oh, there's somebody in my ward. I'm not doing that. The videographer as well. I'm making all of my siblings do a toast, and they're going to have to be nice to me, so I'm going to record that because it will be the only time that they will have been nice to me in the last decade.
I was gonna ask why you're doing a videographer.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's different, obviously, than just a photographer, so we got to have that. So just between those two, you get like a good photographer and a good videographer, you're looking at $3,000.
I'll take pictures for you.
Yeah, perfect.
$40.
My cell phone battery died. Does anybody have a charger?
Anybody got a USB cable?
Kyle. Yeah. Anyway.
Why are you taking the pictures from over there? Could have stayed plugged in.
Yeah. Anyone have an extension cord? You're reeling an extension cord around. Anyway, so we'll see. That's it. That's all my life is.
How much, do you remember how much your practice wedding was?
If you include the ring in the practice wedding, it was probably 14 or 15.
Oh, my good heavens.
Yep.
Are you serious? Yep. And what happened to that ring?
She's got it, I think.
Okay. I'm sure she treasures that.
Yeah. Yep. I know
who has it.
I am sure she treasures it.
Why don't we run down to High and Mike's?
Yeah. The pawn shop here in town.
Pawn shop.
No, she. I know that if she has the ring, man, I am trying to be so nice right now. I don't know. Let me just move on because all I want to say is horrible things. I don't know.
I don't know what happened to my former's ring.
She, I'm sure, is having a great life and good for her. It was not well for us to be together.
Yeah.
Let me leave all that.
It happens.
There. Yeah.
It's okay.
But you don't know what happened to your ex-wife's ring?
No. My suspicion, and this is the honest truth, is that it went the way of a goldfish when it dies. Mm. Flushed down the toilet. That's my...
Really?
I think there's a very good, a 50% chance that's where it went.
Huh. I think that people, even in the most angered of things, I think that that people typically hang on to them because, I mean, I don't suppose that my ex-wife is ever wearing it.
Right.
You know, but it was a $9,000 ring.
What?
Listen,
are you thinking? What were you doing?
There was a conversation.
Richard.
Listen, there was a conversation that occurred.
I just got my heart rate up.
There was a conversation that occurred that let me know that the ring needed to cost that much.
Okay.
Otherwise, there was some sort of loss of love. Yeah, that's a red flag. Oh, I should have seen something like that. I didn't. So I think that she would have a hard time getting rid of that, knowing that, you know, because you take it to a pawn shop, right? It's a $9,000 ring. You take it to a pawn shop and get $4,500 of it. She's enough of a business person.
Oh, she wouldn't get that much out of a $9,000 ring.
Would not get that much?
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think that she would take the time or the effort to put it online. So my guess is that in her jewelry drawer is a ring that she just doesn't wear.
Yeah. That's $9,000 sitting there. That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
It's terrible.
Right. And to the credit of my now version 2.0, or soon to be 2.0, and I love her, so let us not think that I'm being offensive for everyone who's about to email me, contact at the Cultural Hall. You shouldn't call her. I mean, she is a much better pick. Fit.
That's why it's a 2.0.
All the things.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah. To her credit, as far as all that goes, she recognizes that anything near that amount is ridiculous. Because how would you ever get the mileage out of something like that? What, you know, what could she possibly do? And if you lose it, or it gets ruined, or you misplace it, you know, any of those things. So
get divorced.
Yeah, get divorced. But
I found... probably a year ago, I didn't know I had it. I have a big change drawer where I throw all my change, and then like every couple of years I go to the local Smith's and I dump it in a big thing, and it counts it all out, and they keep 10%, which is a weird amount.
Yeah.
And then you get the...
they take tithing on your change. Yeah.
Then you get your money out. They like, and I always have like $117 something, and my son and I go blow it. I found my wedding ring was in that thing of change. I don't know how it got there.
Okay.
So I've got my wedding ring.
Yeah, I got mine in my car. Mine's in the little it's in the little console between the two seats in the front, because when I knew I was getting divorced, when I walked away from arbitration and it was like we're done, I took it off and put it in there, and I just never have taken it out. But I don't know what to do with it, because again, that's a thing. I think my ring was probably $1,000.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do with it. I told my my fiance, I said, I'll just wear that one if you want. If you don't want to buy me a ring, she's like, that's weird. Don't ever recommend that again. Yeah, where'd you get that ring? Well, like my first wife. So I don't know what to do with it though, because again, I try and, you know, pawn it or whatever. I'm not going to get anything out of it. I should ask a jewelry folk if they can melt it and make me a band. That's what I should do. Just a simple band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why haven't I thought of that?
Right.
Why not?
Sure.
Okay.
Do it.
You're not the boss of me.
I was thinking about your last ring just now. I suppose 2 months' salary is what they say.
Right.
Which is silly. But so I didn't know you were making that kind of money back then.
Okay. I'm not. Thank you. And it's 3 months. And even
is
then.
Is it 3 months now? They're upping it?
Yeah. And even if it was 10 months, I'm not making that
first
much.
We let the ladies vote and drive, and now it's like, no, you're 3 months.
All right.
What's
all
next?
Right.
A year's salary, ladies? Come on.
Let's take a break and come back and do actual articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Dan the Laptop Man here, and it's time for another PC Laptop's Bedtime Story. Once upon a time, Brian was looking for a new computer. He searched far and wide from north to south, and he even took his quest online. But he had yet to find the PC of his dreams and was feeling sad. If only I could find the perfect computer with a lifetime warranty to match, he thought to himself. But then Brian stumbled upon a magical store with a friendly staff and a selection galore. Inside, he knew he had found what he'd been searching for all along, a blazing fast PC with a lifetime warranty his heart had desired. Brian returned home, his new PC laptop's desktop in tow. And should it come time to upgrade, Brian knows where to go. PC Laptops, where we really do love Brian and you. PCLaptops.com.
I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Best DJ in Utah, now in its second year. Last year, I went to Washington, to Roche Harbor, and did a gorgeous wedding. This year, I'm slated to go to Moab, to go to Denver to do weddings. And guys, it couldn't be going any better. Thanks, in large part, to folks like yourself. People who are listening to this and say, you know what, I need a wedding or a mobile DJ for something. And then reach out to me. You can go to bestdjinutah.com. You can find me on all of the social medias at Richie T. Stedman, or you can certainly just send me an email, Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E-T as in tough guy, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N @gmail.com. I would love to see what I could do to make your event that much better. Whether it's a party or the biggest day of your life, you need the best DJ in Utah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be in Utah. It can just be the best DJ in Utah. I don't know. Now we start to get into like the technical things. It's bestdjinutah.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Time for the second half of the Cultural Hall's Articles of News, episode 331, wherein we'll do some actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
And we will get going with this. Let me take a quick second. If you have never given us a review on iTunes or wherever else you're listening, I guess it's Apple Podcasts, so let me stop. Apple Podcasts. But if you've never given us a review wherever you get this, please take a second and give us a review. It's a way for us to be a little bit more visible to folks, and we appreciate it. In the future, we may, in fact, even be doing some giveaways with people who do that. So thank you in advance for going and doing that. I want to start here a couple of crime things within the church. Number one, this is from Shoreline, Washington. Deputies are investigating whether vandalism at a local Mormon church is a hate crime. Graffiti was found on a Latter-day Saints church in Shoreline over the weekend. It was done with spray paint and included some profanity. If you watch the video link at theculturalhall.com in association with the show notes of this episode, you can see that they blurred it out. And then there's a few that you're like, what even is that? There's one that is probably a swastika, only it's not a swastika. It looks like chairs, like a couple of chairs being like pushed against each other. And someone speculated that maybe it was just a deacon who was tired of cleaning up after everyone at church, and he decided to take his protest to the spray paint. So you can find that there. They have no leads in that, but they think it may in fact be a hate crime. Then this, the Sundance co-founder, Sterling Van Wagenen, we talked about this last week, but he has been charged with sexual abuse for the second time in 2 weeks. Under the terms of a plea agreement, Sterling Van Wagenen avoided time being added to the 6 years to life that he was sentenced to last week. But Judge Goodman said that if the deal wasn't in place, she would have lengthened his prison sentence by running the sentences consecutively rather than at the same time. She said, quote, I'm going to follow the agreement that everybody's come to, and that she's willing to complete. The judge said, noting that Van Wagenen said that he has shown he's willing to complete sex offender treatment. So it's terrible. He may likely die in jail where it's 6 years to life. And for some, that seems to be the deserving sentence for him. He is 72 years old. Prosecutor said that he abused the same girl once in Utah County and then once in Salt Lake County. He co-founded the film festival with Robert Redford. He was the producer of the film The Trip to Bountiful, about an elderly woman who longs to return to her home, that earned the late actress Geraldine Page an Academy Award. And the charges came after a man that accused Van Wagenen of molesting him as a boy in 1993 were filed. So that'll probably be the last that we'll hear of him, unless he comes up for parole or unless he passes away in prison. So there's that. What else do you have? Maybe something a little lighter and or more fun.
Not yet. Kind of, though.
All right. Well, hold on, man. I'll do this. We talked about a couple of these things, I think, previously. But if not, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will make it a little bit more expensive for members of the church to serve missions. It previously has been $400 a month for those who serve. It will begin being $500 a month starting July 1st of 2020. That, of course, is a 25% increase. It covers everything that a missionary would incur cost-wise, from rent to food, utilities, and transportation. Some thought that maybe with that there will be a coming change of missions, but nothing yet to be seen about that. And then speaking of changes, we mentioned that in a previous episode, I think 329, the Manti pageant came to a close. Well, the Hilcomora pageant now going underway, not right the second while we're recording it, of course, but will be going away next year. So between this year's putting on of the Hilcomora pageant and next year, they expect thousands upon thousands to flock to Palmyra, New York, to see the Hilcomora pageant. It will end after 83 years next year with its 2020 production. Throughout the summer, there are many that come to Palmyra. Large youth groups of 200 to 300 people come to Hilcomora just to see it and visit the different areas there. Organizers expect to see anywhere this year from 8,000 to 9,000 people for each performance. I anticipate, as we look towards 2020, that it will be even more. There. Was that a segue now that we give a little bit of space to something else that's terrible?
Sure. Okay. It's not terrible, but Brigham Young University has announced updates to its honor code office that officials say will, what they think, reduce misunderstanding and anxiety that has occurred at the Provo School. And we've talked about the story before.
Sure.
The honor code where kids, those kids in college.
Yeah. Well, they are in relation to your age.
Thank you. When they would report something such as a sexual assault, then that would, you know, come back on them as, oh, you have broken the law of the BYU honor code and right. You're kicked out of school. So they are changing that. There have been some protests about it and stuff. And they are, I have them as follows. They have a good faith statement. So students will be presumed not to be in violation of an honor code policy unless they either accept responsibility or the investigation process makes such a determination.
Right. So innocent before proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A support person. So they have the right, an option to choose someone such as a friend, faculty, or staff member to accompany them in the meeting with the honor code office.
Which is great.
That's good. Yeah. Appeals. A student has a right to appeal a decision if they feel it was not reasonably supported by facts.
Which I think was actually, you were able to appeal it before, but they have listed this now at the website so that if people weren't aware that they could appeal, now they are.
Right. They have the right to appeal the decision. Employee title change, so to reflect their role as student conduct professionals, not therapists. Staffers will now be called honor code office administrators and not counselors.
Yeah, before they were counselors. And I think for a lot of people, it was not only a little bit misleading, but it was also damaging. Because when you think of a counselor, you think of someone who is there to kind of counsel and advise through these problems.
And who's trained in that.
Right. These folks are not trained in that. So to call them administrators is a little more on the nose as to what they're doing. They're trying to officiate under the rules as to what needs to be taking place.
Mm-hmm.
According to the procedure that you agree to with the honor code.
Right. So honor code changes.
A lot of people, and if you look in the past 4, 5, 6 episodes, we talked with the folks with the honor code stories. A lot of people are saying this isn't enough, should have gone further, should be bigger changes, should have been more. Wherever you come in at that, you're welcome to contact us, contact@theculturalhall.com. We will share those emails. But, you know, it is some movement, so that's mm-hmm. good, right? I mean, I guess if you don't feel like it went far enough, I personally feel like it could have gone a little bit further. But, you know, it's movement, and that's great. I'll take a little movement.
Yeah.
And I look forward to a little more and a little bit more as those students who that feel like they need their voices to be heard and those situations that are otherwise not savory become a little bit more palatable for folks.
Yeah.
I've got this. the Pocatello LDS Temple is making some serious headway. That's the headline, and it just made me chuckle.
What?
I don't know. It's making serious headway.
I just envisioned half a dozen bulldozers all going in different directions.
KPVI, this is out of, obviously, Pocatello, Idaho. One of their anchors or reporters met with an LDS missionary couple who are watching over construction of the new temple. It broke ground in March, and things are going pretty crazy. Elder Roger Pruitt and his wife, Glenda, are who they talked to, said, quote, "Well, most everyone wants to know when the temple is going to be finished, and we just don't talk about that. We know that it's going to be a 2 or 3 process, and people are being patient, 3-point process, sorry. But they're excited about when it might get done," said Elder Pruitt. They're missionaries for the Special Projects Department of the church. Elder Pruitt has been in the construction business for about 47 years. He says, "We just want to be sure that everybody, number one, knows what their responsibility is here in the instruction. We want people to do their best work that they can, and we also want to get the workers, we want to know the workers so that they can have a good remembrance of the things that they've done here." Again, no date has been announced for when it will be dedicated. It will be the second largest temple in Idaho once it is completed. And if you want to know more of the facts, figures, and that stuff, you can go to theculturalhall.com or churchofjesuschrist.org. What else do you have?
Remember the baseball baptisms? Do you know what that term means?
I actually don't. You brought this up and I went, I can't wait for him to tell me this.
I didn't either. So an apostle is warning against letting converts join the church before they are ready. So stories of what they call baseball baptisms, join a sports league, join the church, or legendary Latter-day Saint missionary circles. So they basically just rush them in. It's like, you know, score as many as we can.
Okay. So the reference of baseball is to the runs across home plate. That's why we call them that?
I guess it's run across. I don't know enough about
sports.
Baseball. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, individual sports, not team sports.
Right. But those rushes to baptize and tend to bring about a rapid rise in converts, especially among young men, proved to be off base.
Hey, maybe that's it.
Even less aggressive approaches, including invitations to baptisms during first lessons, were misguided.
Right.
So they're like, hey, look, everybody's doing it. Look how cool.
Right.
You get to take a quick swim.
Well, and I remember we were encouraged to challenge them to baptism when I served my mission. On the first discussion. And I remember just being like, all right. And especially in the early on when I was just barely doing it, I was like, I just barely read the Book of Mormon for the first time and I've done this thing for 19 years. You want me to come into someone's house and change their life overnight? And I guess what they said was, you know, challenge these people that if they, and the way that we would put it in language is we said, if you came to know that the Book of Mormon was true and that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, would you join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? And that made it both important because they could see where we were going with this, but we could also, that was comfortable to be able to do in the first discussion, because then you could be like, yeah, so we're going to teach you these things. If you find out that they were true, would you be willing to be baptized? Sure, you bet.
Yeah. So as Elder Ballard, he said, our retention rates will dramatically increase, because retention rates are not great.
Yeah, abysmal, some would say.
They will dramatically increase when people desire to be baptized because of the spiritual experience they're having rather than a feeling of being pressured in.
Sure.
By our missionaries. So extending a baptism invitation too soon can scare off not only prospective converts, Ballard warned, but also members from sharing with missionaries the names of their friends and family or people they know who might be interested in learning about the church. So I guess a push to not worry about the number of converts. Because I remember that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's as much anymore, but when I had friends out and even maybe in the 90s where it was like, you know, I got 12.
Yeah.
It was how many.
And maybe that's where the baseball term comes from, right? You point to the school board and go 12, 18. It's an interesting thing. So had an experience recently where the missionaries that I know sort of rushed these folks to get married so that the man or the woman, I can't even remember, could get baptized. And so not only were they rushing the baptism, but they also were like, yeah, you need to get married so you can do that. And it was, I mean, that's not a thing that you rush, right?
Right.
In the zealousness of the missionaries to help these people, you know. And I'm not claiming scoreboard for these missionaries, but there is a sensitivity that sometimes is lacking on the part of missionaries that a ward mission leader or a bishop or a mission president or someone needs to step in and be like, all right, guys, let's slow burn this a little bit. If we can get them into the church and with stable foundation and knowing the doctrine and being a lifelong member, that's going to be far different than if we flash baptize them and then in 6 months we're spending time ministering to try and find out who these people even are.
Yeah, so. Let them come to church for a while. Let them actually experience it and feel it, see if there's something there for them.
All right, so here we go. Are you ready for this? It's a quiz, Brother Kyle.
Uh-oh.
It's a quiz and a list because people like lists. I know, and you didn't get a good breakfast or a good night's sleep last night. Remember that growing up?
Yeah.
That was the best. We had the best meals during school testing time.
Really?
Because my mom, yeah, the best breakfast, like when she knew it was wasn't SATs, it was like, I don't know, whatever we would do, she would get up and make us breakfast.
Wow.
When otherwise, cold cereal year round. But the testing times, always, always. All right, here you go. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
The topic, and you can play along at home, 6 Latter-day Saint authors whose books became movies. I'll give you the author. You give me the name of the movie. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
John H. Groberg. What movie?
I have no idea.
Come on. If you've watched TV or driven past a billboard at all recently, this is the most recent one. And probably why this article is circulating again. Anne Hathaway, Christopher Gorham, Other Side of Heaven. You lose. Let's go this second one. You'll probably
I'll get this one.
Yep. Stephanie Meyer.
Don't know who that is.
Come on.
I really don't.
Really?
No.
The Twilight series.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Are we getting here?
All right.
Do we know what we're doing here? All right.
Yep.
You won't get this one because I didn't. Samuel W. Taylor.
Oh,
do you really know this?
I'm trying to seem smart. No, I don't know.
Flubber.
Really? I didn't know.
I didn't know it was by an LDS guy either. Let me tell you this. His grandfather, John Taylor, third president of the church. His father was John W. Taylor, who was a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles before being excommunicated in 1911 for refusing to give up the practice of polygamy. As for his mother, well, there were 6 of them. Needless to say, Samuel's childhood was tumultuous. He studied at BYU, became a prolific writer, published fiction, nonfiction, novels, short stories, and biographies. His short story, A Situation of Gravity, was the inspiration for the 90s classic film Flubber. Flubber is the story of a science professor who accidentally creates a mysterious and mischievous green substance. It was played by the late and great Robin Williams.
Didn't they do another one with Michael J. Fox? And they do an update to it?
No,
maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe think of the other movie. But yeah, I remember it with Robin Williams. Flubber. It was bouncy.
How about that?
Look at me play basketball.
I apparently didn't print the other pages.
Oh,
so
we don't know who the other one is.
I can't remember who the other one was. That sucks. That was a terrible quiz. Sorry. I bet I'll find that final page somewhere in the rest of my pages. One never knows. Alicia Strotman is the creator of a thing called Life Goes On, and it's a journal. Most people can agree that divorce is crappy. I think both of us would say there's an element of crappiness that comes with divorce. But Alicia Strotman wanted to make sure that crappy divorce didn't turn her into a crappy person. She says, everyone has reasons to get divorced, and my goal isn't what went wrong in your marriage. My focus is how do you move on, because life will go on with or without you. And then she sings it like Bono, with or without you. It's a little sound book. You open up the journal and it, with or without you. So she created a thing called the Life Goes On Journal. That goal to move forward with a happy life is the driving force behind it. She said that there were very little resources out there to help her within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's geared towards members of our church and other Christians, but it's helpful no matter what. The journal is a daily guide that includes self-care tips, prompts to get the user thinking, a place to rate your day, and a spot to name the emotions from the day. It's called Life Goes On. It's a journal, and you can find it online to purchase. You can also find the link at theculturalhall.com. Hashtag not sponsored.
So, there are things, when you're working in the temple, that you shouldn't do.
Okay.
Ways to dress, ways to not.
Okay.
So
I was scared about where you were going with this.
No.
Kyle, and there's things we should and shouldn't talk about. Uh-huh. And
here's what you shouldn't do in the temple. Light off fireworks. No. Yeah. This gentleman's name, I'll mispronounce his first name. Is it Tekulve,
I think.
Tekulve, Jackson Van.
Uh-huh.
So he had dreadlocks.
Uh-huh.
He was working in the temple. So the Payson Temple worker was initially told that his new look wouldn't cut it. Sorry, that was a joke. I had to read it. Because it violated church guidelines that say temple workers' appearance should be clean and conservative.
Right.
So this is part of the conservative part.
Right.
The temple president then got word from the higher-ups that dreadlocks could stay, and so could Jackson Van as an ordinance worker.
Right.
He said, I didn't see it at all as racism, per se. He told a local newspaper of the
initial
ruling.
Which is great that he didn't seem like that, because I think a lot of other people are like, racism.
Right. Yeah. Exactly, which is good. He said, I saw it as evidence that there is some room for cultural sensitivity in the church.
And that.
And yes.
Yeah.
If a global church is what Latter-day Saints want to truly hope for, he said, we're going to have to back off our Utah corsets a notch or two and be open to how some other people
absolutely
look and dress.
Yep. Luckily, I mean, that came out kind of in two parts, but we're on the tail end of it. He was told he wasn't going to be able to serve, and then the higher-ups in Salt Lake quickly were like, no, guys, what did you do? Reverse it. Change that. Guys, stop. What? Really? No. What? Please, let him. So, yeah. That was a story that, for a lot of folks, got them really frustrated. And I'm glad that it has a happy ending. And you know what? Yeah. Here's the thing. You see a lot of stuff online, and I'm no apologist. Here comes the apology. But allow people to make mistakes and then to correct the mistakes. I think the time when we can get really upset about things is if people make a mistake and then double down on their mistakes.
Yeah.
That's the time, I think, to get upset. I think that there it needs to be latitude for, oh, crap, I screwed up. I didn't know. I was insensitive. I was culturally unaware. And not even in just matters like this. In all ways, hey, I can have that moment of ignorance, insensitivity, whatever. But what I do with that is then, I think, how we take the next step. They apologize, allow that forgiveness to be given. If they change their ways, allow that to, you know, mark how the future will be. If they double down and say, you know what, I don't care, I feel like that's the thing and that's how it's going to be, and too bad, you know, whatever, screw you, whatever, I think that's more telling. And at that point, I think it's appropriate to get really upset about something.
Right.
But in some cases, I mean, in most cases, in all cases, we're not perfect. Allow us the opportunity and the latitude to make a mistake, but then also the latitude to correct a mistake as well.
Yeah. Or maybe a mistake by one person.
Uh-huh.
Don't take it as the whole, as a girl group, who maybe doesn't know.
Right. I thought this was an interesting story, too. Do you know who Mark Rober is? No. I like to ask you questions.
Because
I already
know
the answer. Do you remember the glitter bomb that went off about a year ago?
Oh, yeah.
The package that had the camera in it, and then someone stole the package, and there's video of it, whatever. He is a BYU graduate, the guy who made that.
Yeah.
And he decided that he was going to make the world's largest pool full of Jell-O. So there's a picture of this at theculturalhall.com. He fulfilled one of his own childhood dreams and created a pool entirely filled of Jell-O.
Well, I've seen that before. There's a club I go to down on Beck Street, and people wrestle in it.
The video, you can see it online. It has over 23 million views.
Wow.
And it's awesome. He's like chest deep in a pool of Jell-O. How awesome is that? Here's my thought.
Great.
I'm betting if you diving board into a swimming pool full of Jell-O, not as soft as you'd think it would be.
Yeah. You might hit the bottom.
Yeah. So, no, my theory is, harder than you'd think it would be. Like water, you're able to you know, not right. permeate. What's the word I'm looking for? Penetrate to the bottom. Mm-hmm. My guess, Jell-O, like kind of hitting a wall. Not completely wall-like, but kind of.
I would like to test that. I would like to jump off a diving board, a low one, and see what happens. I'm afraid I would get stuck down in halfway and suffocate in Jell-O.
But what a way to go, am I right?
Yeah.
What else do you have?
You ever watch the show Stranger Things?
I have awareness of Stranger Things. I haven't. I don't have Netflix.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was on just...
So you haven't seen it either?
I actually have. A couple times. I'm not into it. I have friends and my son love the show.
Mm-hmm.
People love the show.
Yeah, most people. I haven't taken the opportunity.
Yeah.
I did Marvelous Miss Maisel instead of Stranger Things. Oh. That's the avenue I went.
Whoop, wrong choice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty good show.
So there's a Stranger Things episode that has an LDS connection in it.
Sure. By the way, we should say, just real quick, we may give spoilers because we don't know the show. So if you have not yet watched the Stranger Things season 3 and you want to be completely spoiler-free on that, know that we don't know. So what we're about to say may spoil it, so you may want to fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Pause it a second. So Dustin, a character in it, comes back from science camp. He finds a friend of his has a girlfriend who he thinks is imaginary, so he kind of investigates. He finds who it is. Her name, his girlfriend Susie, he found out, was a Mormon who lived in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And forcing the two to keep in touch via a homemade radio tower, so that's why he suspects that she isn't real. And the aptly titled Susie, Do You Copy episode. Dustin unsuccessfully tries to contact her, causing his friends and audiences to wonder if she had ditched him or if they were even in a real relationship. And it wasn't into the season finale that Dustin reached Susie for help. Anyway, so they ask, so the kind of the line in it, so it, they find out that she's Mormon and... Mm-hmm. That's what they say here about it. There was supposed to be a funny line in it, but anyway, he
why can't Mormons send flowers?
Right, I love that actually.
From Cheers,
more men. I see.
No more men.
Dustin describes Mormon as super religious white people.
Yeah, we are. Go us.
Yeah. So. Studies show that U.S. church is overwhelmingly white and holding steady at about 85%.
Jeez.
So,
this is interesting. This just hit the news yesterday. A survey commissioned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints inquires about lowering the age of youth interviews with clergy from 12 years old to 8 years old. So I thought this was interesting. This went out to a lot of people, and I know that people will instantly think about Sam Young. He was the one who started the Protect LDS Children movement. We spoke with him here in the Cultural Hall. That's an old episode. If you subscribe, you can see that in the old episodes where he talked about that it's inappropriate for bishops to be alone with children at all. So certainly the lowering of ages causes alarm for a lot of folks. About this survey, it says it's being conducted by the Correlation Research Division of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The church is considering having primary children ages 8 to 11 receive periodic individual interviews similar to the practice of interviewing young men and young women. So people, you know, obviously on some level being pretty upset. But what I noticed wasn't being talked about in the news as this was being reported here on TV stations locally in Utah, is that there were other questions that were found in the survey, such as, if the church were to do interviews with an 8 through 11-year-old, who would you prefer conduct those interviews? And so they say the bishop, a counselor in the bishopric, either the bishop or a counselor, a member of maybe the primary presidency, or a member of the young men or young women's presidency. So it's allowing for some fluctuation as far as that goes. Another question from the survey is, aside from the interviewer and child, who else would you prefer to be present in an interview with your child? So they're also getting the idea of, you know, wanting, I think, to be able to protect or to allow that opportunity more to protect the children by asking that question. And they say, no one else. Do you want no one else but the interviewer and the child? That would not be my preference.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if/when I have children, I will not allow that to happen. That's just my own personal feeling. It also says, no one else, myself, my spouse, a bishopric member, a primary leader. So that's one of the questions that's on there. What are your preferences regarding the following topics that could be covered in an interview with your primary child? Challenges in their life, positive things in their life, their spiritual development, progress toward youth achievements, their relationships with family members, worthiness. So it's a chance for people to weigh in on a lot of this. One purpose of the current Bishop Bick youth interviews is to help young members establish a trusting relationship with a priesthood holder. If the church were to do interviews with an 8 to 11-year-old primary children, how important would it be to you that your child establish a trusting relationship with a priesthood holder? It says not at all important, slightly, moderately, very important, extremely important. Overall, are you in favor of or opposed to the proposal to do interviews with children ages 8 to 11? Very much opposed, neutral, very much in favor. And then that's the feedback that people can give. And I think that it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they will publish the results of the survey or if we just won't hear of any changes ever again. But at all costs, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints needs to do, and I believe is doing, a better job, but needs to continue to do a better job, increasing year over year, of protecting our kids and not allowing those opportunities where, you know, if 9 times out of 10 nothing goes wrong, there's still a time out of 10, and that's not okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and step off that soapbox.
All right.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, you can be well and listen next week.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you
here on the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.